Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I'm your host, Cody. And we're wrapping up August with the last night, or the last week, and the last of five bands that woke up my musical tastes, or whatever I am calling this. There are five of my favorite bands that helped me discover new types of music that I wasn't listening to at the time. Anyhow... So the last band I'm going to talk about, the reason I saved them for Lasty Last is because they are one of my all-time favorite bands. One that I, routinely listen to a lot. I even have the name of the band tattooed on my arm. That band is Refused. Refused, for the people who, don't know, who they are. They are a Swedish punk band, that is from way back in the day of 1991, when I was the wee age of 10. I didn't discover them until way too late, really, for my chance to ever see them live at the beginning when they were together. I have seen them, and I'll get into that story in a little bit, because that's my personal connection to them. The first time I ever heard them was way back in 1998. I was going to my favorite record store, Music Trader, the one I ended up working at later on, and I'm walking around looking at stuff, and they always play stuff in the shop to listen to, and they were playing this. Something was playing in the background. I wasn't really paying attention to it, and then a song came on, and it was drastically different than anything that was playing at the time in the store. And I was like, well, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to go ahead and venture forth and ask, because this sounds amazing. And so I did. And it ended up being Refused. The song that was playing was by far their most popular song to date, which is New Noise. It has gone on to be a monstrous hit for them, but also just a huge song in general. It's been on, it's been in video games, it's been in movies, it's been everywhere, and it's an amazing song. And that particular album actually was a landmark album, and is still to this day talked about by people who in the know, that know music, as groundbreaking for a multitude of reasons. One is it sounded like nothing else at the time. Has been tried to be copied several times afterwards, but even changed their musical style too, from being very fast punk rock to very melodic, still very fast, but also in tuning a lot of electronics into their even more so than their early stuff. A lot of electronics, a lot of synth stuff into their sound. So far, I mean, to go so far as like on that particular album, the album I'm talking about is The Shape of Punk to Come, is how it's known to most people. The actual album title is The Shape of Punk to Come, Chemical Bombation in 12 Bursts, is the actual name of the album, a very bizarre one. It is 12 songs long, hence the title. The later release in 2010 adds a live record that hits a lot of their big songs that they played in their hometown and they recorded in 1998, which is when this album was released. They played a show there, right? It was before the album came out, right? Because it was in April, right? Yeah, the album came out in October, so it is already out, been out at that time, but or it hadn't been out yet, so they played a bunch of new songs that no one really heard at that show, and of course they recorded it live and later released it as a release with the original album, the 12 songs, 12 live tracks, and the documentary that was filmed called Refused Are Fucking Dead, which I will go over as well in a little bit and talk about that as well. But we'll go back to the beginning. Formed way back in 1991, by a bunch of friends who were the main guy, the lead singer, was a front man of a straight edge band at the time called Step Forward. He is the vocalist for Refuse, as well as the primary writer of lyrics for the band. He joined with a bunch of friends from his hometown to inform the band Refused, and released a 7-inch record that basically never really never happened. It didn't become released anywhere. It was just something they did there. Later they recorded their first demo that same year, and then went on to release a couple in Sweden. They released it in there, and then later on released their first full length album in 1994 called This Just Might Be the Truth. An amazing song, amazing album. They had in this first recording, the first set of them, they were just the vocals, two guitarists, bass, and drums. They didn't, and the backup vocals were sung by Henrik and Parr. They released it through a local label and then it was reissued on Burning Heart Records in 1997. I don't think they remastered it. I think it's the same, pretty exactly the same one. It sounded amazing. Very, very, very hard. All the songs were less than 3 minutes. The longest song on there is, all the songs except for two of them are under 3 minutes. The longest song, which is Strength, is three minutes and 29 seconds. And then the only other one that's above 3 minutes is Fifth Freedom, which is 3 minutes, 16 seconds. The rest are all sub 3 minutes. There's one at 2:59. So like right at the, Our Silence is right at 2:59. But amazing album. I caught onto it later, obviously, because I told you that already. But I as soon as I bought The Shape of Punk to Come, I listened to it nonstop. Damn near broke that fucking CD. And then I went back and I bought This Just Might Be the Truth and their second album, Songs to Fan the Flames of Discontent, which to this day has my second favorite song by them, called Rather Be Dead, which is the opening song to Songs to Fan the Flames of Discontent. If there was a counter of how many times I've listened to the song on iTunes over the years, it's got to be in the thousands. I remember putting at one point, I literally listened to this song, just that song, on repeat over and over again. I love that song so much. Amazing album in its own right. I mean, it's jammed packed full of fucking amazing songs. Then they did two releases of EPs oddly enough, the year after the release was set, or after the release of Songs to Fan the Flames of Discontent, which was released in 96. In 97, they released two EP compilations, which had a lot of their first demo and their second demo. So Refuse, which is their first demo, and the second demo, which is Operation Head First. Those ones, as well as a bunch of bonus songs that were covers of other songs of other bands. They had they did Live Wire by Motley Crue. They did Gratitude by Beastie Boys, and they did a cover of the Gorilla Biscuits song No Reason Why, and it was a live recording as an untitled track, as a bonus track on there. And then they also did a cover of Back in Black from AC/DC on that collection as well, which helped me. I mean, I love cover songs. I love when they're done really, really well, and they do them extremely well. The other EP that came out, or the other collection that came out, that same one, was the demo or the EP compilation, which had a couple other covers on there too. One of my favorite ones is a Misfits cover called Bullet, which is one of my favorite songs by Misfits anyways. And then they had a bunch of different variations of songs that they hadn't really released. And there's two versions of this that you can get. There's the 1997 version, and then there's the 2002 version. If you are lucky enough to get the 1997 version, it does have the different songs on it. There's more of them on there than there was in the 2002 re-release. But there is a couple different variations of the song. But on that same album, there's, besides the Misfits cover of Bullet, you have Voodoo People, which is a cover of the Prodigy song. And then you have Half Mass by Born Against, which is another cover song they did. And then I Wish and DRSS, which is Afrojet's cover song, which are also excellent. But if you really want to hear a dope-ass version, if you ever heard the song Voodoo People by The Prodigy, you should listen to both of them. But if you really, if you know the Misfits, or if you listen to Misfits because of what I talked about at the beginning of this month, they have a song called Bullet. They do a cover, Refuse does a cover of it on the EP collection compilation, which you can find on, I believe it's on iTunes. But the reason it's, some of those songs were not on the re-release is they couldn't, the Misfits one, they weren't able, Epitaph wasn't able to get the rights to reproduce it on the re-release in 2012, so that one's missing. If you can still find the 1997 version, actually, I probably could tell you right now if it's on iTunes. I own them both, because I'm a sucker and I love them so much, so I bought them. You know, might as well buy it twice. It's amazing. You should definitely check them out as I'm looking this up. I highly recommend just going through and finding their version of Bullet if you can. Both versions are available on iTunes in their entirety, so you can get them both on there. I didn't think they wouldn't be. Great way to do it. You should totally check them out on there. Check that out. And then shortly after that, a year later, they released an album they were working on when they were releasing those EP collections and the demo compilation, which is their landmark album, as I talked about earlier, The Shape of Punk to Come, which was their magnum opus, and almost the end of the band, and I'll get into that right now. They came together, and this is actually where the friction built, is when they were making this album, because they added a lot of electronics that didn't really mesh with everybody in the band, because they wanted to do different things. They weren't against having it, they just didn't really meet in the middle. They did a lot of I'm not too sure how it actually happened, but I know they were at odds with a lot of the planning of the songs, and the guy who kind of, I guess, spearheaded the disbandment, his name is John Brandstrom, or Brandstrom, I'm not too sure how to say it. He did samples, programming, synthesizer, and guitar on the album, he didn't like the way they were going about it, but it doesn't matter, that's not what I'm here to talk about. What makes this album feel different, but also just... is different is the fact that the approach they took on making the album. So the album marked, I'm reading right off of an overview of it. So the album marked a sharp and concise departure from the earlier work. The philosophy of the album expounded on this, the ample liner notes that were written and encapsulated in the song New Noise. New Noise is it's kind of a play on, not a play on, but like a almost like a songumentary, if you want to say, of all their feelings and what's going on in the with the band and their ideology. They're very, very political in all their songs and all their stuff. They were very anti-establishment, and the fact that they were making this album that ended up being huge in its own rights, but also kind of made them realize that they didn't like the fact that they're kind of playing into the corporate and capitalist machine that they were kind of basically singing against and kind of talking about, but I digress. And in this, they added a bunch of elements that, like I said, wasn't really in a lot of their earlier stuff, which is the air quotes punk. And so they changed what it was, and they basically played with a lot of the stuff that was kind of bouncing around at the time, in the early or late 90s, mid to late 90s, which was post-hardcore, post-punk, techno, and jazz, and they add a lot of in there, and they were around that same time. The big bands were things like Green Day and Blink-182 were massive at the time, and springboarding even farther, but they went even more away from some of their counterparts, which is Bad Religion and Pennywise, and they just basically just kind of pedaled to the metal and ran right through it. And they sampled songs from different genres. They actually had samples of other songs from other bands, and they just kind of went in and did something that they knew was going to be different, but also kind of knew they had to do because the way they were kind of feeling and the way they were going about things. They had there's probably 10 or 12 samples from spoken word, from other songs, takes on different radio programs and stuff that were happening. Pretty amazing, if you really think about it. And even come down to the name of the album, which is name of the album as well as the title track of the CD, The Shape of Punk to Come, was in reference to an album, a jazz album called The Shape of Jazz to Come, which was in its own right back in 1959, is quoted as being an avant-garde album, a jazz album, by Omet Coleman, who went about in his own kind of way and revolutionized the way jazz was made back then. And they used that as an inspiration, but they designed the song and the album around that same philosophy and things like that. It was pretty crazy what they did with it, and it blew up so much that they self-destructed. They decided they wanted to go and do other things and kind of leave what they did behind. There's a quote I was reading earlier when I was looking this up, that basically playing the shows following the release of the album, they were so against what was going on, and they were being treated because of their outspoken point of view and all these different crazy things, that they kind of looked at it and said, hey, we're not gonna do what we want to, and they decided to split up literally months after the album was released, which is crazy because of the success that it had. But you know, that's what they were there for. They were there to do different things that they wanted to. It was pretty, to me, it was devastating because I was so into them and I was waiting for them to come to town, like to near me, to San Diego, and they never did. And I was very devastated. It took me literally 17 years later to see them, and I'll get into that story in a minute. But before that, way back in 2010, Epitaph Records started this furious rumor mill to build when on the website they said coming soon, and it blew up on forums and things like that, that they were going to get back together and they had new stuff coming because of the coming soon on the last label they were on, which is Epitaph, technically Burning Heart Records. And it turned out that it was just the reissue of their final album, The Shape of Punk to Come, that was going to be released in 2010 as a 3-disc set, which included the original album, the live show from recorded in 1998, and the Refused Are Fucking Dead DVD. And it's a documentary that was filmed in 2006 or made in 2006, and it's all about them and the last year of their career. So basically, everything that came about at the end of 1998 into 1999, and basically showed a lot of behind the scenes recording, had music videos for Rather Be Dead and New Noise. And a bunch of live performances from live performances of Shape to Punk to Come, the Apollo program was a hoax, and Protest Song 68 as bonus features on the DVD. That was kind of like this is kind of how their band kind of fell apart in a way. It's a very interesting documentary, but a very amazing documentary. I highly recommend watching it. After the breakup, a lot of the band members split off to do different things. Dennis, the lead singer, formed a band called the International Noise Conspiracy, which was an amazing band as well. Drastically different, very, very fast paced, but very, they were, that they sounded like so many other bands, but, they had a very, 60s garage band sound to them. They added a synthesizer piano. They did a lot of crazy stuff. So he had International Noise Conspiracy. He also did, he was the lead singer of Afro Jets, but that was, you know, way back in the day. He played bass there too. He did, what other bands did he do? He did, Lost Patrol was in there. There's another one too. And then he had, he formed another band, at that time called Invasion, or INVSN, which, is still currently running, I believe. It's another outlet of musical inspiration he has, and it's in its own right just phenomenal as well. They've released two albums as INVSN, Razor, or he had the self-titled in 2013. Oh yeah, here he goes, and The Beautiful Stories in 2017. And then they have a bunch of singles you can see too. And they had two albums before that that were in Swedish, which I have only listened to very little because I can't understand the lyrics, but are amazing albums. It's musically amazing as well, that they released before they changed their name up. And then he did a hardcore band called AC4, another band that was in Swedish as well, that I've only listened to a little bit of, because I can't really sing along with it, but it's there. They're much, much harder of an outfit than some of the other ones were. Their second album, Burn the World, was in English, and I did listen to that one quite a bit. Really good as well. Still not as good as Refused, but that's just maybe me. And then a lot of them bounce around doing different things, and different outfits in that time frame. And then there was an actual coming back together in 2012. They did a reunion. That was announced on BBC One, on the a show called Punk Show in 2012 by Mike Davies. He stated that Refused and At the Drive-In were going to be doing are reforming in 2012 to play a handful of festivals, but the main one that he was talking about is Coachella Festival, and they were going to be performing there. And then on the Facebook page Dennis's Facebook page, he announced that they were going to do a world tour at different festivals as the original, well, not the originals, but the main four or five band members from basically recording all the way up to the recording of The Shape of Punk to Come. And then that was kind of going to be it. And then in 2014, at the end of 2013, not the end of 2013, at the end of that year long, so basically at the end of, it was the somewhere like in February, March of 2013, John Brandstrom basically said that he is not going to continue on if they want to do anything. He was doing it just for that one set of shows, and then that was it. They were going to go do what he was going to do, whatever. And then in 2013, the Refused was awarded an award called the Special Prize for Swedish Music Experts by the Ministry of Trade, and were basically given this as because of the where is it here? So instead of thanking the efforts of the Popular Education, in particular Workers' Education Association, or ABF, and youth centers in Sweden, that they kind of went along and did that. And that's what they got the award for. It's pretty cool. And then they decided that they wanted to kind of go about do new things. And so four of them got back together in 2014 and said that they were going to basically start recording new stuff. They did a bunch of festivals. They did, I can't remember how many it was, but they basically announced that they were doing the first show in 3 years, which was the Reading and Leeds Festival, and a couple other ones in the summer of 2015, and that they were basically that they had recorded an album, that they were going to release in 2015, on Epitaph Records, called Freedom. And they worked with a bunch of different people, outside of the norm. And they worked with, a gentleman named, Shellback, who worked with artists like Taylor Swift on a song called Electra to be the lead single for the album, and then went from there. And then just at the end of last year, they even said that they're working on a new album and that Dennis was in the midst of it because he was wrapping up his tour duties with Invasion, and he was getting ready to go into recording. So we haven't heard any more about it yet. But I'm super excited for hopefully a surprise release at the end of this year or sometime next year for some more of that. So, and so to my story about my, my personal story about them, I already told you how I learned of them. I finally got to see Refused, together as a group in 2016 in Chicago at the Riot Fest where they were playing. And it was emotional. It was amazing, to see, them finally live. I've seen the International Voice Conspiracy. I saw Lost Patrol, which is Dennis's like solo project. But I never had seen Refused together, and I didn't never travel to any of these crazy festivals anywhere. And I'm definitely not going to go to Coachella again. That place is a fucking nightmare to me. Way too many people who are sweaty and smell bad, and I can't handle it. Matt, my friend Matt and I, went there not just solely for Refused. I was super stoked that they were on the bill. We went there. I talked about it as we went there for the Misfits, and because Matt bought tickets for that as soon as they announced, because the only band that was announced that was playing was the Misfits, and the rest of the building came later. And then I saw that Refused were going to be there, and I was like, "Oh my god!" I got to sing along to all my favorite songs. I finally got to see them play New Noise live, which is phenomenal. It was just amazing to witness and experience, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. So that's it for that. And I think that's it for this week's episode. In the end of this month, tune in next week when we have a brand new theme for a brand new month. And I will talk to you then. So as usual, let's be awesome.